días, buenas tardes. It is a wonderful time for Chicas Políticas. Rita, we haven't recorded for a hot second, and it feels like so much has happened.
Yeah.
The last time you and I got together, we were just talking about that Biden was just not cutting it. He was just not in it.
I feel like it was a few weeks after the debate, and it was a mix from disappointed and pissed and...
In some ways, kind of giving up.
Yeah.
Some ways, like seeing the writing on the wall of like, oh shit, Trump is going to really win this.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Dun, dun, dun!
Less than a week later, we hear what, you know, part of the Democratic Party had been asking for, which was for Biden to step down, happened. And within 20 minutes, it was announced that he was endorsing Kamala. And within an hour, she had confirmed the endorsements of anybody else that could be running against her. And within a day, there were over $100 million raised, you know, and now we're 2 weeks into it and we have a VP pick.
Well, let's backtrack. This is a lot to unpack. We're hearing... Brat summer, Brat, coconuts and palm trees. We're also
here. I had never heard that when I saw the video. It was so funny.
So let's break it down because there's a lot of excitement. And also what's really amazing too is that this is a very historical moment as
well.
Oh
my gosh,
For women, for our Asian friends, for our Black friends.
Yeah.
For young Democrats, for the youth, we're seeing so many young people being involved. So let's backtrack a little bit. When the announcement was that Biden was going to step down and that Kamala still wasn't really confirmed that Kamala was going to be the pick yet.
Yeah.
I think there was some probably behind the scenes political correctness that was trying to happen.
Yeah.
Even though that was the right thing to do, right? That was the right thing to have the VP, the woman who had already been standing side by side with the president, that this was the right thing to do. But also, too, the fact that here's a Black Asian American woman, and it was phenomenal that Sunday night to see Black women leading the charge and organizing.
Mm-hmm.
And a dear friend sent over a link and said, hey, you need to be part of this call, the Coalition of Black Women. I'm not Black, but I appreciate being invited into a space. Because as women of color, Rita, we need to support each other.
Yeah.
And so it was phenomenal to see the momentum on that. What was supposed to be a small Zoom meeting ended up being a 44,000.
They had to call the Zoom people to expand the limit. Yeah.
Yes. And it was just phenomenal. I mean, I feel I was on a Sunday church service. It was amazing just to see, too, Rita, how much this means for the Black community.
Yeah.
How much work has happened for the Black community, especially Black women, to have this moment. So as much as we focus on Kamala, and I know that sometimes we forget that she is Asian American as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I would love to hear her speak on that. But, you know, it just feels like this really, in this moment, to our Black sisters, this is your moment. This is the moment that we have been waiting for. And it's really exciting, Rita, that this is very much a possibility. So huge shout out to all the women that organized that. Thank you for inviting us Latinas to be part of it. And it was quite amazing that us as Latinas continue to bring us in to our Black sisters because we are in this together. So that was phenomenal. And then in less than 24 hours, seeing the momentum of fundraising that was happening for Kamala. And I think if there was ever a doubt that this could not be done, that we had to go with Biden, this is confirmation the last few weeks that it can be done.
Yeah.
You can do the non-traditional things.
Yeah, and we were told, right, as both of us were on the train of he needs to step down, like this is not gonna work, we're gonna lose, he needs this, there's no way out of this. We were, I think, preparing for impact at that point.
We had recorded an episode talking about that.
So
this is the thing too, Rita, is that there was no denying, especially after the debate, that Biden was not the right fit.
Well, that's the thing. there was no denying to some people, but there were still a lot of people that were very supportive of his. And actually, when I heard in the official news that he was stepping down, I was surrounded by some Dems that were telling me this is just not fair for him and felt like he had been pushed out.
Did they say why it was not fair?
Because they wanted it to happen like on his terms. And there was this illusion that he had been pushed out, but in reality, you have to, like, he was the leader that we needed at that point. He saw the writing on the wall. He saw the data coming back. There was no path for victory. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a decision that happened on Sunday, right? It was a decision that must have happened for multiple days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a few people were more in the conversation and kind of preparing others that this will happen, that this has to happen.
And I think it is important to touch on this too, that, you know, so my respects to Biden and the legacy that he has created, the service.
I don't know. I won't go that far, but you can go that far.
I will go that far because it is important to acknowledge too. I think part of his legacy, Rita, is him stepping down. I think that.
Yeah, for sure. That will be.
I think that says
a
lot because
that's part of it.
At the end of the day, that was what needed to happen. And for the Dems who feel that this should not have happened, that's what creates historical moments that are just, you cannot plan.
Yeah.
That all the forces and all the circumstances led to this point where this was not on our bingo card.
Yeah.
And I'm just so thankful, Rita, that he could find it in himself to put his ego aside and to put the country before him, because there's just too much at stake at this election that at least now with Harris, it feels like we have a shot to win this.
Yeah, we just have to be careful of how realistic this shot is, you know, from, and you probably saw this too, from being involved in politics now for a while, I was not seeing the engagement, the excitement that we needed to see in July with Biden, right? We were, you know, a few months away from the election and there was no excitement anywhere. It was really hard to convince people. The message that people had when canvassing was, hey, we're about to have a king, right? We're about to have our last election. Yeah, we're about to have a fascist regime.
Not funny, right?
For who knows how long. Like, that's not inspiring. And at some point, you start blocking out this messaging, right? Mm-hmm. There was nothing exciting about it. Now, I think we're seeing a level of excitement and involvement and engagement in the community across the nation that can give us that hope. But that has to be sustained till election day. And past election day, if we get in the best case of scenarios, we have to realize that the systems that we are currently living in, we are under a Biden administration today with executive orders that attack immigrants, with no real ceasefire agreements, with systems that don't benefit teachers, that don't benefit from line workers, that don't benefit farm workers. That is the Biden-Harris administration today. And so if we're going to see, if we're all so enthusiastic today, and if we're going to get Harris to win by action, we also have to be ready to take the action post-election day.
Yes, and I think prior to this momentum, we didn't see this level of attention. I mean, we're seeing
white dudes
for Kamala, Catholics for Kamala. Yeah. We're seeing Latinas for Kamala,
Christians for Kamala,
Asians for Kamala.
Yeah.
So to tie it all together, folks, is that I by no means is it by accident that we are with the systems that Rita just touched on. The reality is the demographics that do turn out to vote is an older population and it is white folks that vote. Mm-hmm. So when we come to the table as Latinas, as women, our populations aren't showing up to vote. So even though we do have a right to say, hey, this is not what we deserve. Mm-hmm. This is not what is in alignment to what our beliefs are. It's hard to kind of have that buy-in with politicians, and I hate this about politics, but that's the transactional portion of it,
yeah.
is that my hope, Lita, now with all these demographics that are putting in money, that are putting in time, that yeah. are supporting that campaign, that hopefully, nombre padre del hijo, that we can win this thing, that then after we can go to Harris as our Madam President and say, we got you elected.
Yeah.
We put in the time and money. Now this is what we need.
Yeah.
And hold her accountable. But it's really that transactional thing, Rita, yeah. that I think was missing. And what's really exciting is we're seeing young people show up.
Yeah.
And that gets me excited.
I'm just really trying to, you know, and that's where we need allies, right? Because the systems of inequity that hurt us all are also hurting white older people, right?
Oh yeah, Medicare, Social Security.
Exactly. So we need
veterans.
So we need our allies to be talking post election day, post victory mm-hmm. day, to continue talking, continue listening. Yes, because I'm really worried that there's this whole excitement, and then there's election day. Oh, there's victory in the best case scenario. And then we just call it a day, and we go back to the same old, same old.
I'm going to be hopeful, Rita. It's just...
You be hopeful for us.
we have to be hopeful, Rita, because to me, it's one of those things that I don't want to take it for granted. I think just the last week, that week that led up to Biden stepping down, to that week of Kamala being the pick, there's going to be like a whole history textbook just alone on that week, because these are monumental moments in our history that the forces that be are creating these moments where we have to capture that event. I'm totally with Lisa that the work cannot stop. Obviously, we need to capitalize on that excitement and hold accountability. That's one of my favorite words, accountability.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? And for us Latinos, it looks like immigration reform. Enough of dangling the carrot, enough of giving us crumbs. Let's create immigration reform now. Let's get prepared.
Yeah.
Let's hold accountability to the Republicans and say, for all of those folks that are saying, oh, the border crisis, well, look at how much funding is going into immigration. We have folks that have been part of the system for years that can't get processed because we don't have enough staff to actually just alone process the forms.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, immigrants, the immigrants are the backbone of this country, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we need a system that will support those that have left their homes to live in this country and to give back to this country. We need access to universal childcare. We need
universal university.
Yeah, we need equal pay. I mean, Latina
education.
Equal pay is like way into November because we don't make the same amount as our white male counterparts. So there's mm-hmm. like a long list of things, right, that we need to think about when we win. But we have to be talking about this all along, because otherwise we're going into this this fantasy land,
mm-hmm.
And it will be historic, but only mm-hmm. for the history books. It won't mm-hmm. be for actual change.
And that's a good point too, Rita. And I think for a lot of folks that I've been asking, so what do you think about Kamala? What do you think about mm-hmm. her? They've never really been able to put their finger on her to say, you know, this is who she is. Or I know people have assumptions of who she is, but I will say mm-hmm. this, that it has been quite amazing to see her personality shine through.
Yeah.
Now that she is the main focus, and even that speaks volumes to Rita, that sometimes you are the leader and sometimes you are the supporting role. And I think she's been that supporting role for a long time.
Yeah.
So now to see her step into the light, I think as a woman, I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
As someone who I actually have heard vocally be an advocate for Black women, she uses that example of childbirth and the inequities that are happening, which is very real.
Yeah, we've talked about that in other episodes as well.
Yeah, and so I'm hopeful that she can be a champion, even alone, just on the women issues. There's so many things, right?
Yeah.
As a woman of color, I think there's a lot of hope. But you and I also touched on, and which I want to also be realistic, that we talked about this with the new elected woman president for Mexico for the first time ever, that there's going to be, the institution itself has a lot of red tape. She will be met with opposition even from within the party, and we don't even have to tell you about the Republicans. They're just, you know, they show themselves to be who they are. So I also want to be realistic, but as my counterpart here, Rita, who is a community organizer, activist, someone who is in the trenches, boots on the ground, it is important that as much as we have this excitement, we also have a plan while we are campaigning. Why are we showing up? What is our intention? What is our agenda? So when we can have that moment of celebration on day one, we can also request a meeting and say, this is what we wanted. This is our ask. This is what we want to see within the first year of laying out those bricks so we can have a monumental four-year term.
Exactly. And you know, it's really, really, really concerning because just today we found out that Cori Bush has lost her 2024 primary, and it was her and just like Jamal Bowman, I believe, that were calling for a ceasefire, that are just not gonna come back to Congress. And that is extremely sad, of having progressive voices, black progressive voices, being taken down, and being really, we're seeing the divisions in these races between Democrats, right? And we're seeing a lot of money coming through PACs to these Congress members, to get those Congress members to not be in Congress again, which not only brings sets us back, like, because of changes in representatives, but now it takes these voices that were pushing for all the things that we have been talking about: maternal health equity, about universal health care access, child care access, equal pay. Like, these has been the strongest voices. And the problem and the concern that I have is that in the best case scenario, Kamala is going to have a really hard time getting anything through, especially if we don't get the House and the Senate. And as we're seeing, if we already split as Democrats on who we're supporting our representatives to get the House and the Senate 3 months before the elections, like, there's a lot of work to be done, and there's a lot of come to Jesus.
And that's, and you bring such a great point, Rita, and I'm thankful for you bringing up this point, is that we like to focus a lot on the shit show of the Republicans, but I think we're, los trapitos sucios, our dirty laundry as Dems, is also coming out to light. That we are lacking the unity, we're lacking the messaging, we are lacking the reality of that if we do want to create these reforms, we do need the support from the Congress and the Senate and do all of these things. And it makes me, you're bringing me back to earth, Rita.
I'm so sorry.
But I also feel, Rita, it's a result of the Trump administration.
Like,
not completely, but there's so many steps back that we made with this dangerous man, that it's like, I'm curious to see who is going to be her cabinet, who is she going to bring in, because
100%.
there is just so much going on. There's too much going on, right? We have the Supreme Court. We have the reality of voter suppression, the reality of immigration reform, our economy. I mean, I can go on and on. Inflation. Yeah.
But look at Biden's
climate
cabinet.
Change.
Yeah. But look at Biden. And I'm not saying that the Biden-Harris administration has not done anything. We have passed. And this is something that Democrats need. We need to be better at. Continue reminding everything that has been done that has been historic. Infrastructure. Climate change investments. There's just like so many things to call, you know, calling out the pharmaceutical companies and getting cheaper medication for Americans. you know, protecting, voting for our unions, protecting our vets. Like, there's just so many things across the board that we call out that the Biden-Harris administration has done really well. But there's also, we have, like, the most diverse cabinet that we've ever had. And we're still dealing with issues in every, like, across the board, right?
But I think when we have something like that, it just comes to show the reality of where we're at.
That's what I'm trying to call it.
Right? Like, there's the optics of politics.
Yes.
And then there's the real measurements of where we are at. Yeah. And I think for someone, for example, like you, that's so immersed in politics and eats and breathes and lives it, you can see that bullshit, right? Like, you can call it out. And there's a lot of optical illusions in our political systems and the institutions that be. And that's why it is important to have an intentional agenda.
Exactly. That's what we need, because a lot of times when candidates are recruited to run for office, we say, look, it's really hard because you need one type of person to be the candidate and win that campaign, and that same person has to be a whole different type of person when they get elected, because now they have to do policy, now they have to work with different people, they have to learn so much about so many different things. It's like two different types of people that have to be within one, right? That's what we also have to ask of the voters. We as voters, we have to be able to do both. We have to be those that get people out to vote, that focus, laser focus on winning those races, from school board to from service districts all the way to the president office. But we also have to be the voters that keep politicians accountable later on, that continue checking in, that continue paying attention, that center voices that have been marginalized. We need both.
But you know what, Rita? It's really fascinating, because I literally had this conversation last night, and then I've been having this conversation. As y'all that have been following us, thank you for your support. Thank you for years of listening to us. And to all the new people, welcome! Bienvenidos, bienvenidas. You know, for myself that I've been so involved with the Paso Robles School District, this is just a prime example of what Rita's saying at a local level.
Yeah.
Is someone who has been so involved with finding candidates, recruiting the candidates, working with candidates to get them elected, then getting them elected, and then, like, then that stops. It stops there, right? And I have been checking in on these candidates that now are elected officials. And to be transparent, to some I hold grace, and to some I've been completely disappointed in.
Yeah.
But the reality too, Rita, is that it's not a one-way street. It's a give and take and push and pull.
Yeah.
And so when an elected official is having a hard time making the right decisions based on what we thought was the agenda, we have to come, I think it breaks down to two things in reality, Rita. Number one, either it's their true character that they were never really in alignment with what you had hoped with, or B, they are lacking the support. And the support needs to come from the people. It needs to come from the constituents. It needs to come from those people that were equally as supported during the campaign to also be supportive while they're standing up there. And it's easier if the public, if the constituents, if the community is leading the charge. Because I'm still hopeful, Rita, that when you show up and you organize, and it doesn't have to be 100 people, even though that would be nice.
Yeah.
I have seen change happen even with 5 people in the room, consistently working. And I've seen that through the Slow Women's March.
I've seen that
with so many nonprofits locally. I've seen that with the Paso Robles School District. So please, 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 if you are excited, if you're wondering if you should be excited, be excited, get yourself involved, but also think about, what do you want? What do you want to see happen in the next 4 years? What is that one issue, because there's been so many that have led us to this point, what are you most passionate about?
Yep.
Align yourself to that nonprofit.
Yeah.
Align yourself with those organizers. Align yourself with those marginalized groups. What is it? And it can be anything. It can be immigration, education,
environment,
birth control, environment,
housing. We've offered it in the past. If you have something that you want to work on, you just don't know where to start, let us know. We will connect you with
people. Yeah, we will connect you regardless of where you're listening. If you're listening to us from Texas, from Arizona, from up north, you know, because there is, I think this is a coming to Jesus moment, Rita, that the optical illusions need to stop. No more of this performative politics.
Yeah. And what we should be taking note of is that 3 weeks ago, when we were told by the most progressive minds that this was not possible, right? We were walked through steps of all the reasons why Biden stepping down would just not work. We have already proven half of those points wrong, right? So if in your mind you have a little bit still doubt, then not only can we get Kamala Harris elected, Harris Walz ticket elected into office, take that doubt off, but also take the doubt of thinking that you don't have a say once those elected officials are in office. Because I have seen them shaken when five people get organized and consistently push for what they believe in. And it doesn't matter how progressive that person was when they ran for office. It matters how they vote. It matters what policies they prioritize. So let's get this excitement going. We have less than 100 days to go. Mm-hmm. We have to get connected to our county Democratic Party, to our clubs, to swing left, to national organizations that have phone banking already going on to swing states. We have to donate. If you are listening from San Luis Obispo County, there is a group called Slow County for Kamala, and it has a specific link that goes straight to the Harris campaign, but it tracks as a donation coming from Slow County to show our power, to show that we are supporting, that we are fighting for change. So go find that Facebook group, Slow County for Kamala. If you are already in the group and you're listening to this podcast, thank you very much for all the excitement. We need to keep it up. We need to keep holding our elected officials accountable. It doesn't matter how progressive they tell you they are. It doesn't matter how much they align with your own values, how much they tell you they align with your own values. See it as how they vote. That's the most important thing.
Definitely. And so let's talk about some of that fun portion of it, that Kamala is brat. It's a brat summer. Some of you may have seen that lime green haze. They might be seeing those coconuts, trees.
Oh my gosh, and Walz.
And then that part too.
Oh my goodness.
So brat, what is brat? Because people are like, what is this brat thing?
I have no idea.
So
tell me.
Let's break it down so we can all be on the same
page. I've been nodding like, yeah, I know what it is, but I don't know what it is.
No, are we at that age where we're like losing our coolness?
Explain it to me I'm 37.
We need to get it together. come back. So there's an artist whose name is Charlie XCX, and she came out with a new album. Okay. And the album has this lime green background with brat. And so we, as cool chicas políticas, we talked about this. Last summer, it was hot girl summer that vote.
Right.
This summer, it's all about the brat. So normally we have like a negative connotation of what is a brat, but according to Charlie XCX, a brat is a woman who, or is a vibe, it's a feeling that embraces chaos and ego and imperfections. Mm. And so she took it upon herself to go on X and say, Kamala is brat. Mm. And all the young people just ran with it, Rita. It was phenomenal. If there was a moment to capture for all those young voters and to tie it into a hot artist, a new album, and a whole vibe, it was that moment. And so Kamala's headquarters capitalized on it. And now we're seeing all of these memes. We're also seeing the coconuts and the palm trees. And that's in reference to one of Kamala's famous sayings, you must have been falling off from a coconut tree. So if you see that, use the emojis, connect to the young voters. And it's working, Rita. It's phenomenal. Yeah. And the Trump administration is freaking out. They're lacking on that end. They don't even know how to connect. They're analyzing this. And if there's one thing we know, we have to have fun. We have to make it, you know, lighthearted. in the midst of all the seriousness. But yes, yeah. It is a brat summer. Kamala is brat. We are excited. The mobilization of young people has been beautiful. So keep that movement going. So hopefully that understood what it is. But also bringing it back is that Kamala needs to be more than just a meme. She needs to be more than just a hashtag.
Yeah.
So remember, for all your young people in your lives, talk to them. Yeah. Remind them that we still have a democracy where you can vote. And let's preserve that. Yeah. Let's make sure that people understand what is on the line. Yep. And we have to talk to people.
And don't ever, we've said this before, don't ever, what's the word that just went away from my mind? But don't ever minimize what racism can do. So we have to really, really go hard. We really, really have to go hard supporting Kamala.
Yeah, and just one thing that was noted to me, Rita, which I thought was really great from a young person, shout out to Ava if you're listening to this, is it's interesting how we refer to Kamala by her first name versus her last name, whereas with other men, we always refer to them as to their last name. Like, we're not calling Donald Trump Donald this, Donald that. We're calling him Trump. Same deal with Biden. We're not referring to him as Joe. We say Biden. And so I feel like I've gotten so used to using the word Kamala, but I'm intentionally, and I invite all of you too, to start calling her Harris.
I don't know.
I think it's just...
I think there's a valid point. But also, we don't have to follow the systems that we were following before, right? Like, maybe I think there's some type of not being familiar. Like, if someone starts calling me Casa Verde and not Rita because they want to give me respect next to something, like,
it might be something small, you know, but it's an interesting observation.
I do think so.
Because
I've
seen it on a local level with one of our city council women at the time, where they were, all the men on the council were referred in a very professional formal title, while she was always referred as just her first name. And while it's something small, I just even if it's just bringing it up to our awareness of that we're even doing that. And I think there's a time and place for all things. Yes. I personally feel, and this is part of my excitement, I have enjoyed every single video of just Kamala being hip, just being cool, feeling like she, you know, she's got her
move. I don't think they call it hip anymore.
She's dancing, I know, just aged myself. But I love it. You know, she's young, she's vibrant.
We
She's
needed connecting. That so much. Oh my gosh,
and I think a lot of our life is feelings and excitement and transmitting that hope.
Yeah, like, how do you get in more people into the movement if you don't have that excitement, that smile, that laugh, that lightness into it, right? We're talking about really important things, but it doesn't have to be serious and sad.
Well, and
or scary, even worse.
Well, you want to be able to relate. And I said this to my... colleague who Rita knows, that I still consider myself young, as a young Latina woman, it's hard for me to connect and really relate to an older white man. I don't see myself. I don't even think this person even knows what my neighborhood looks like, what my concerns are with the work that I do. And I think that says a lot just alone. And I know it might rub people the wrong way, but that's my reality. That's how I feel.
But Tim Walz said it perfectly during his first speech, that he said in his speech that Trump has never been at a dinner table like ours. Like, if you think of your dinner table, Trump has never sat at a dinner table like ours and talked about the economy or about work or about what's happening at school or how they're going to make it the next month. He's never had to have those conversations with his family in that way.
So it's really hard to relate.
Yeah.
Let's talk about him. What do you think of him?
I am really happy. I was concerned about some options. I was obviously rooting for Pete Buttigieg and Mark Kelly. Those were like my top two options. But I understand. I messaged someone. I was like, oh, I was rooting for Pete. And someone said, he's going to be around for a while. And I'm like, that is so true. Like, he has so much such a great future to look forward to. But mm-hmm. I'm really happy with Walt. I mean, mm-hmm. what else can you ask for? This guy has served the nation. He's been a teacher, a coach. Then he ran for office. He's been governor for a lot of years. He has passed so many progressive policies, like basic policies, right? And he's really good at speaking, at relating. I was showing my husband videos of Tim Walz just like changing some plug in his car, and he was like, "What? Like, I can really like." He's talking to the people that we haven't been able to bring in, mm-hmm. in their language, right? Like, yes. He's talking the people's language, and that's right. What we need from a politician, a VP, mm-hmm. especially.
I think you just hit it on the nail, Rita, is that a lot of times we think as politicians from these elitist pedigree.
Exactly.
And if I invite all of you,
J.D. Vance, right?
Oh,
Trump.
Another episode. but you know, I was not familiar with who Tim Walz was,
yeah,
and
me neither.
Now I'm doing the waltz. I'm excited to the window.
To the waltz. Yes. I was singing that all night last night. I caught myself so many times just being like, to the windows, to the walls.
I'm excited. It's a whole day, y'all. I feel like, let's wrap it up and bring it back to what Rita was saying.
To the windows, to the walls.
To all these people vote, so we win this election. Yes. But the reality is there's still a lot of work to be done. There's a short amount of days to make it happen.
Most importantly,
the ballots will speak for themselves.
Yes.
We need to get organized on our agenda, what is our ask.
Yeah.
Request those meetings. Connect to those nonprofits. Connect to those community organizers, organizations, grassroots, all of these things. Because although it feels really exciting and good, that doesn't mean we have won.
Exactly. Less than 100 days to go. Connect to your county Dem party. There's a lot of phone banking, canvassing, letter writing, postcard writing already going on. Get yourself plugged in. Let us know if you don't know where to start, wherever you are. If you're in California, ballots arrive the month before election, so that would be October 7th. We need to do this. As soon as you get your ballot, get it in so they don't have to waste money on you getting your ballot in. Again, we keep repeating this from here to election day, so get ready to vote, get activated, get connected. Let's fucking do this.
Vámonos!
From the window to the walls!